Welcome to Anchor Point, where we believe that the next 30 minutes could change your life forever. So join us to consider the greatest message ever heard, the good news of the gospel, as well as sound scriptural teaching for believers, all based on the Word of God, the anchor for our souls. One of the most ancient questions in the world was asked by Job in the Old Testament, and here it is. How can a man be just with God? Or maybe we might say, how can I have my sins forgiven? How can I know that I'll be in heaven? Things haven't changed. Men and women have always been seeking for peace in their souls, whether they want to admit it or not. The Lord Jesus knew this, and he told his listeners a story to illustrate what the answer was. It's a story about two men who went up to a temple to pray to God. It was good that they both felt a need to be right with God. But the two men had vastly different approaches to God and vastly different estimations of themselves. Which one did the Lord Jesus give his approval to? It would be wise for us to find out, wouldn't it? In today's broadcast, we hope that you will follow this story carefully, as evangelist Mr. William Skates takes it up in his message today. What was the difference between these two men, and why did only one find the answer to Job's ancient question?
Job chapter 25, and we'll read verse number 4. How then can man be justified with God? Or, how then can man be made right with God? Or declared righteous by God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Now we'll come into the New Testament for the short answer to the book of Romans, please, chapter 3, verse 28. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without or apart from the deeds of the law. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now we'll illustrate that by a parable that the Lord Jesus spoke in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, and we read it, verse number 9. Then he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. The publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. The question that we have read from the little book of Job is very relevant to us. It's likely the first book that was written in the Bible in terms of the date when it was written. Probably the oldest book in the world, the book of Job. So the question that's asked in chapter 25 is an ancient question, but it is still relevant tonight. How can a man be just with God? How can a man be made right with God? You know, if you go out into the community and you talk to various religious people, there are many different denominations and many different answers that you might get as to how a person can be right with God. And one would be confused by the various answers that would be given. So in order to clear up any confusion, we'll come right to the source material tonight. We'll come right to the Bible, and we'll find out what God has to say from His Word about how man can be right with God. We've gone to the book of Romans for the short answer. And Paul, as he examines that same question, makes this conclusion. By the Spirit of God, he writes, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without or apart from the deeds of the law. The deeds of the law, in short, the Ten Commandments. A man is made right with God, declared to be right by God, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, apart from any performance of righteous acts that he might do in trying to keep the Ten Commandments. Now the Lord Jesus is dealing with that same issue when we come to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 18. He's actually speaking to a people. It's interesting to notice who he's speaking to as he tells this parable about these two men. He's speaking to people, and it says that they trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Now notice, they are trusting. They have faith, because that's what faith does. It trusts. They are trusting. They are people of faith, if you will. But you see, it's not enough to be a person of faith to be right with God. Because these people were actually trusting in themselves. The object of their faith was themselves and their own effort to be right with God. And the Lord Jesus, through the parable, is teaching that that is not the way to be right with God. It's nothing that we can do or perform, as illustrated in this Pharisee, that makes us right with God. Rather, it is by taking true ground before God, acknowledging exactly what we are in our need as poor, helpless sinners, that brings a person into the blessing of being right with God. So then, to those people the Lord is speaking, and he gives this parable about two men that went up into the temple. And these two men from opposite ends of the religious spectrum, you might say, one is a Pharisee, an ultra-religious person. He's going up to the temple to pray. The other man, this publican, as he's called here, that's nothing to do with a pub. That's got to do with a man who collected taxes. It's a man that works for the revenue of the day, which was the Romans, a tax gatherer, a tax collector. They were notoriously dishonest. And everybody knew that when they were talking about a publican, here's a man who is despised for his dishonesty, and he's obviously a person who's not right with God. From the two ends of the religious spectrum, an ultra-religious man, a Pharisee, and on the other hand, this publican, a sinner. And he goes up to the temple to pray as well. So let's take it then as it comes on the text as the Lord Jesus speaks. We'll deal with the Pharisee first. These people were, Pharisees were a religious Jewish sect of the day. They kept very strictly to the law of Moses. They would attempt to keep not only the Ten Commandments, but a whole host of other traditions. They had rabbis that had put their commentaries on the Old Testament scriptures, and rabbis that had commentaries on the rabbis that commented before, and they were interpreting the writings of the rabbis that interpreted the scriptures and so on. And so it went on. So these Pharisees had a host of various religious duties that they had to do, and they had a host of religious performances that they tried to keep, and above all, they tried to keep the law of Moses. So one of their number, a Pharisee, he stood in the temple precinct and said, the Lord Jesus, he prayed with himself. That's very telling. He's praying with himself. He's doing his own little thing religiously, praying with himself. There's something in the heart of men and women, boys and girls, there's something in the human heart that longs after God. There's an emptiness there. There's an emptiness there. And sadly, people try to fill that by just religious observances and performance, such as this Pharisee. So he stands and he prays with himself and he says, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Tell me, what was he praying for? What was he praying for? He wasn't praying for anything. He had no felt need. He's just making a pathetic presentation of himself before God, as though God is impressed with him and all that he's doing. You know what? That's exactly what all false religion tries to do. Make people feel good about themselves as though they had some tremendous worth before God, such that God is obliged to, after all, bring them into heaven because of their good works, because of how they have lived, because of how they attended church, because of how they read the Bible, because of how they prayed, because of how they were good to their neighbor, and because how they never did anybody any wrong, and ultimately God is obliged to bring them into heaven. Pathetic presentation of themselves before God. Remember, this man did not go down to his house justified. That's the word of the Lord Jesus. To take that approach to things is a fatal error in being right with God. These Pharisees, they prided themselves in their knowledge of the scriptures in the Old Testament. They could analyze it, they could dissect it, they could give you chapter and verse, you could start a verse and they could finish it. And for all their knowledge of things, isn't it sad that this man had never taken the word of God to his own heart and let it speak to his own heart about his own condition before God? It's very sad that that is the case. What do you mean? Well, just this. I'm going to quote from Romans chapter 3, from verse 10 down to verse 18 in that chapter. And the interesting thing is that in Romans chapter 3, verse 10 to verse 18, that whole section is all quoted from the Old Testament that this Pharisee would have been very familiar with. And listen to what the Word of God said. And compare that with his estimate of himself. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Do you think he was listening to that? Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps, poisonous snakes, is under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And that described him to a T, so far as God was concerned. How far away from God's estimate of his condition was this dear man? Let's just challenge each one of our hearts here tonight. Has there been a time in our lives when we have recognized that these very same words describe our heart for what we are before God? How we appear before God? None righteous, no, not one. None that understandeth, none that seeketh after God. There is none good, no, not one. Now listen, that's what God says about your heart. That's what he says about my heart. Is God right? We stand before the bar of God's justice. And we haven't got one word to plead on our own behalf. We know that whatsoever things the law says, it says to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. If that man had have listened to what the Bible was saying, he would never have spoken this way to God, pathetically presenting himself. And he went down to his house just the way he came up, still in his sins, still self-deceived, still not right with God. How sad that there are many in the world this evening, self-deceived, still in their sin, still not right with God. We come to the tax gatherer, this publican, verse 13. Notice just one verse deals with this man. He doesn't have very much to say about himself. In fact, he just mentions himself just once. Just once. First of all, we notice his position. He's standing afar off. So in the temple precincts, So far as the holiest of all is concerned, where the presence of God was, he's standing afar off, away in the farthest corner of the temple court. There he is, standing afar off. What do we learn from that? We learn from his position that here's a man who has this attitude of heart, that I do not belong in the presence of God. And it's a wonderful day in a person's experience when they discover that I do not belong in the presence of God because of my sin. And then we see his posture. It says he would not lift up so much as his eyes onto heaven, as if to say, I'm not going there. Have you ever discovered, my friend, that because of your condition as a sinner in the sight of a holy God, that you are not going to heaven? And then he smote upon his breast. You still see the people in the Far East at times of tragedy, bombings or whatever, those video clips that come back from those places, and people are beating on themselves in grief. It's an expression of grief in that Eastern culture. And so he's smiting upon his breast, an expression of grief. But as we look at him, it's as though he is saying, we see the attitude of his heart, it's as though he's saying, it's me that is the problem. It's me that is the problem. So he stands afar off. He doesn't belong in the presence of God. He's not lifting up his eyes to heaven. He knows he's not going there. And he's beating upon his breast. He knows that he is the problem, as a sinner before God. Then at last he begins to speak, and he puts in his plea. And listen to this. He's not presenting himself in a pathetic way like the Pharisee. Listen to what he said. He says, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I have nothing to plead of my own merit. I'm just a sinner. And I need mercy from God. You know, the interesting thing is this, that at the time of prayer, the hour of prayer in the temple system, there was a lamb that was taken and killed. And that lamb was killed, its blood was shed, and its body was burned upon the altar in the temple. And the smoke of that sacrifice would go up to God as an offering to God. And this man, at this time, he's asking God to be satisfied on his own behalf. There's a sacrifice that has been made. He's the sinner and he deserves death. But there's one who has died instead. Speaking to us tonight in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who took the sinner's place on Calvary, and upon that cross, God poured out upon him the punishment that our sins deserve. He, his own self, bare our sins in his own body upon the tree. God, who knew them, says the hymn writer, laid them on him. And the Lord Jesus was dealt with as God would deal with sin. He who knew no sin, he was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. All of our sin, in all of its ugliness before God, he bare our sin in his own body. I can't tell you what that meant for the Lord Jesus. There's much in the Old Testament that speaks about it. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I'm come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. It's the picture of one in water, sinking, nothing to stand on, sinking down under the crushing weight of the ocean of the judgment of God against sin. Another figure that used is fire. For from above hath he sent fire into my bones, and it prevaileth against them. And on that cross at Calvary, the judgment of God against sin entered into the very being of the Lord Jesus Christ, until from his soul he knew that all was accomplished, and he cried, it is finished! Done as God would have it done. Satisfying the claims of justice against our many sins. So that a poor guilty sinner like you and me can take a look to Calvary and we can call out to God, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And we know that God, who is rich in mercy, has already displayed his mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. For those that trust in Christ as their Savior, they're given the gift of eternal life. They are saved. Not by works that they have done, but it is by grace that we are saved through faith, not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, like the Pharisee was trying to rely upon. Not of works, lest any man should boast, like the Pharisee. Simply to come to God in all our need, acknowledging I'm just a poor, guilty sinner, deserving the judgment of God. But there's one who has died in my place. And through his death on the cross, God gives me mercy. God gives me peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And trusting him as my Savior, I can have the assurance from the Word of God that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Says Paul in chapter 5 of Romans, therefore being justified by faith, being made right with God by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And said the Lord Jesus of that tax gatherer, he said, this man went down to his house justified, cleared of every charge of guilt that God could possibly have brought against him, cleared of it all, and declared to be right in God's sight, justified. That's what it means, to be declared right by God. And that man went down to his house saved. But let's just challenge our own hearts. Has there been that time in life when I have understood my need as a sinner and the sufficiency of the Savior to meet my need? By simply trusting him as my Savior, my heart is made right with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, what's the answer to Job's question? You see, Christ himself is the answer. Only through admitting our lost condition before God and trusting in the finished work of Christ on the cross are we able to be just with God. It is through Christ that we are justified and cleared of all guilt. It is through Christ that we have peace with God. Trusting in our own good works and religious observances will never get us an inch closer to heaven. The Pharisee in our story went home the same way that he left it, a self-righteous sinner. The ungodly publican, however, he cast himself upon the Lord's mercy, and he was saved. We hope that you will take heed to Christ's message today on this vital matter of your soul's condition. Take him as your Savior today, won't you? If this or any of our Bible messages here at Anchor Point has made you aware of God's interest in you, or if you'd like some literature or a visit that would help you to understand these important truths, why don't you drop us a line at email@anchorpointradio.com. We'd love to hear from you. We're glad that you were able to join us at Anchor Point today. Anchor Point is sponsored by Christians who are meeting in various gospel halls. Each of these Christian assemblies holds gospel services every Sunday night, as well as regular prayer and Bible studies throughout the week. No collection is ever taken, and a very warm welcome awaits you. And if you've been challenged by today's message, would like to know more about the truth of the gospel, or of gathering under the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, following New Testament principles, please feel free to check out our website at anchorpointradio.com. There you will find more information, as well as the location, programs, and meeting schedules for the Gospel Hall nearest you. Also, feel free to take a look at other literature and audio offers at anchorpointradio.com, where you can also subscribe to our Anchor Point podcast. My name is John Sharp, and thank you once again for listening. And we invite you to join us again next week at the same time for Anchor Point, where we believe that in times like these, you need a Savior. And in times like these, you need an anchor.